you all for coming. Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Guru Vaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Bhad Puraman Sukri Raj Gacharja Stota Sri Srinivas Bhakti Siddhanta Sarsati Guru Swami Raj Guru Vaj Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishta Vrindaki Jai. Nama Charja Sri Dhari Das Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokobinath Sham Gurvada Gurvini Gurdan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Namadeep Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Mana Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to you, Samaveda. All glories to you, Samaveda. All glories to you, Samaveda. Gaur Premanande. Again, thank you all very much for coming. If you could do a mobile check, make sure that your mobiles are quiet. And I think we have some space that could be filled in on this side. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 16th chapter, text 11. The Lord Krishna says, Chintam apadameyam cha pralayantam upashataha kama upapoga parama etavaditi nishchataha. The demonic belief that to gratify the senses is the prime need of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Purport. The demonic accept that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life. And this concept they maintain until death. They do not believe in life after death, and they do not believe that one takes on different types of bodies according to one's karma or activities in this world. Their plans for life are never finished, and they go on preparing plan after plan, all of which are never finished. We have personal experience of a person of such demoniac mentality who, even at the point of death, was requesting the physician to prolong his life for 4 years more, because his plans were not yet complete. Such foolish people do not know that a physician cannot prolong life even for a moment. When the notice is there, there's no consideration of the man's desire. The laws of nature do not allow a second beyond what one is destined to enjoy. Om Agyanatminandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Shagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam, Shadaitam Shavatutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhandvitanscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vancha Gopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Chintama Parameyam Cha Pralayantam Upashrita Kama Upabhoga Parama Etavad Iti Nishchitaha Kama Upabhoga Parama. Parama means the highest. The highest. What is the highest? Go around in the street and ask people, what's the highest thing that you aspire for in your life? What's your ultimate goal? What is it that you think is the best thing that you want to accomplish in your life?
Self-realization.
Oh, yes, self-realization. Manusyanam sahasreshu. How many people will say, self-realization? And if they do, they mean something like realizing, they'll have these catchphrases, to be the most you can be, to realize your full potential, which could be anything, It means that you become the best car mechanic in all of London, or it means anything. Your full potential for what? To be the best what that you can be. Even self-realization, what is their idea of the self? For people in the grossest concept, the self is the physical body. So self-development consists of doing things like push-ups and weightlifting and eating hordes of protein, watching those muscles grow. For someone else, self-development means mental and intellectual development. So taking college courses or continuing education, that's self-development. Because they know that the body is not who I really am. But they think that the mind and intellect is our real identity. But from the Bhagavad Gita, higher than the mind and intellect is consciousness itself. And that consciousness, or you can say soul, or whatever you like, that's the actual self. I say my intelligence. I use my intelligence in different ways. But I'm distinct from the intelligence. I'm distinct from the intelligence. As we have a shirt and a coat, so we have a gross body and a subtle body. The gross body is this thing that you see. And the subtle body is the mind, the intelligence, and the subtle false ego. So these are coverings for the self. They're not the self itself. They're not the self proper. So generally when we ask a person what's the highest thing, he'll say something in terms of either the gross body or the subtle mind. sometimes I, if you ever look at like your high school yearbook, they have high school yearbooks here? No, in America they have high school yearbooks. Glad I asked. In America they have high school yearbooks. It's a little book that is produced by the students graduating from secondary school. And in there they have some reminiscences about the school itself. And typically little pictures of the students, and the students will tell about their aspirations now that they're graduating. So you read one of these. I was sitting in someone's home and reading his high school yearbook. Somebody says, I want to have my own garage so that I can fix cars and make a lot of money. Okay. Somebody says that I want to make a lot of money so that I can have whatever I want and be happy. Somebody says, one of the girls, that I want to meet Mr. Right and have a lot of kids. Somebody says, you know, all very it's just interesting things, but small things, temporary things. I want to make a lot of money, or I want to study psychology and because I think it would be really cool, or whatever. But you go through the book from beginning to end, nobody says, I want to understand who I really am and get out of materialistic life, go back to my real spiritual, because no one knows. They go through so many years of it. And if you read their, if they did a book when they were graduating college, you'd just find the same sort of thing, perhaps more specific. You know, I want to pursue marine biology and understand the intricacies of crustacean development. But Padma, what is the highest thing? Bhagavad Gita says, in the estimation of the materialists, kamo pabhoga padma. To gratify the senses is the ultimate goal. And really, when we take all of that stuff about having your own garage and meeting Mr. Right and all of that, that's really what it boils down to. Whatever will make me feel good, whatever will satisfy my senses, that's the ultimate. To have a big house, or to be able to travel all over the world, whatever it is, for my sense gratification. Kama upabhoga padama etavad iti nischita. That's as far as they've been able to ascertain. This is the limit. This is the ultimate. And what is the result? Chintama padameyam cha. Their anxiety is without limit. If we attach ourselves to material goals as the means for self-realization or self-fulfillment, we'll be frustrated. That's the way the material world is built. We must be frustrated. We must be in anxiety. Why? I'm dependent on all of these things for my happiness. If these following conditions are met, I'll be happy. If they're not met, I'll be miserable. If she marries me, I'll be the happiest man in the world. If she divorces me, I'll be the most miserable man in the world. If this deal comes through, then I'll be on my way to success. If it collapses, I'm ruined. You know, everything's what's going on with my bank balance, what's going on with my this, what's going on with my family, what's going on, a whole network of material circumstances which in fact are beyond our control. Prabhupada gives the ultimate example of death, where some acquaintance had some plans that were still not completed, still not realized. So he was pleading with the doctor that, you know, if I can just live a little bit longer, that's all I want, just a little longer, a few months longer. It doesn't work that way. It's beyond our control. And what is the use, finally? I had an aunt who developed cancer of the digestive system there someplace, and she was told that if they removed 3/4 of her stomach, she could live another 6 months. So she was desperate to be on the small list of people who would be able to have that operation. Why? What benefit do you get by living an extra 6 months? And that too with no stomach. But chinta, we're in anxiety because we don't know the real purpose of life, because we're clutching at material enjoyment which is not actually within our hand, which we can't hold on to, and which may be taken away at any moment. We don't know what's next. Therefore, we're in so much anxiety. Therefore, the modern culture of the modern pharmaceutical culture, antidepressants, more antidepressants, better antidepressants, faster acting antidepressants. The most wealthy, the most highly developed, the most sophisticated countries in the world are full of people who are clinically depressed. Is that how it's supposed to work? The more I get, the more depressed I become? So, in the Bhagavad Gita we find that happiness is already there within myself. Because the nature of the living being is to be happy, anandamoya vyasa. It's the nature of the soul or the nature of consciousness to be joyful. And we're in anxiety because we're turning outside, away from ourselves, towards something which is not joyful, which is not actually a source of joy, which is an illusory source of happiness. There was some bird who saw some fruits in the mirror and was picking on the mirror. So what kind of taste do you suppose the bird got? It just hurt his poor little beak. Because there's no happiness in a reflection, in a mirror. But from the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the material world is a sort of perversion, a sort of perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. How in reality everything is permanent, and in the reflection everything is temporary. In the reality everything is by nature joyful, and the reflection is full of miseries. Take the body, for example. In the spiritual world, it's understood from Srimad Bhagavatam that everyone has a form, a body, as we do, but their bodies are joyful. Their very bodies are joyful. Now, are our bodies joyful by nature? What are hospitals for? Actually, the potential of the body to give misery is unlimited. And, I know you didn't come here to be miserable, so I don't want to inventory everything. But take any organ, the eye, the ear, the tongue, the skin, the nose, the liver, the stomach, the lungs, the heart. Each one of them can have not one thing that may go wrong with it, but multiple. The plumbing can go bad, the electricity can go bad. Everything about the body can cause trouble. And it doesn't just cause trouble once, but it causes trouble again and again and again and again and again. Every square centimeter of the body is capable of giving excruciating pain. You know, a little paper cut on your finger, which is a small thing. I mean, paper cuts are not the end of the world, but just that much is, you know, so troublesome. And that's on one, you know, how much space and how much skin do we have? And paper cuts are, you know, small things. That's not a major catastrophe. So the analysis is that the body is capable of giving so much trouble. So much trouble. But in the spiritual world, the body itself is joyful. The body itself. We're trying to get pleasure through the body somehow, but the body itself is not just, we'd like it to be. My body is so healthy and it's just radiating goodness and health, but you know, that's health food ads, that's not reality. In the spiritual world, the bodies are absolute, they're made of joy. They're not made of parts that break down. They're made of ananda, made of joy. And they're permanent. Even if you think, what's this guy talking about? He's just a pessimist. He's saying all these, just, you know, kind of putting down the body. He's anti-body or something. You know, maybe he's just a kind of a bitter old man or something. But if you ask me, the body is good. I'm happy. The body is not. Then how long will you have it? Okay, it's great, it's wonderful, it's fantastic, it's splendid, and it's going to be taken away. Then, if you have something good, you don't want it to be taken away. That's why no one likes thieves. You have something and they take it away. In the material world, the big thief is time. Time comes and snatches everything. So even if we think, oh, it's lovely here, I'm best of all possible worlds, it's great. Everything will be taken away, and finally will be taken away. And we don't like to talk about that, we don't like to think about that. That's again pessimistic and depressing. So we sort of put that aside, but we know that it's true. And there's a little someplace in the back of our minds, or maybe in the front of our minds, this knowledge is there, that's the kind of world we live in. And therefore, anxiety. Therefore, anxiety. What might happen? What each? And not only one, but thousands of anxieties, you know. What about the baby's cough? What about the terrorists? What about my uncle and his coming to dinner on Friday, and what are we going to feed him? What about this? What about that? Just a whole array of anxieties. They're either in the forefront, they're in the background. And how long do they last? Pralayantam upashatam. Up to the very end. Last up to the end. It's not that we, you know, when you're kind of in anxiety when you're an adolescent, and then you grow up and you become full of freedom from every anxiety. No. It's not that when you're working you're full of anxiety and then you go home and there are no anxieties. Or when you retire, then there are no anxieties. It's pictured like that. You retire, and then you have nothing more to worry about. Retired life is full of anxiety. One doctor visit to the next, one pill to the next, one break, you know, crisis to the next, one funeral to the next.
full of anxieties.
So the consciousness or the soul is eternal, joyful by nature, and full of knowledge by nature also. In the material world, the body presents an obstacle to knowledge. You know, I see with my eyes, but it's also that my eyes limit my sight. Because I have only this kind of eye, I can only see so far. If I had an eagle's eye, I could see for miles. If I had the ears of a dog, there'd be frequencies that I'd be able to hear that I can't hear because this ear limits me to certain frequencies. Right? There are so many things I can't experience fully because my body is limited. And the mind is the same way. You say the mind is, with the mind and intelligence I can have so much knowledge, but the mind and intelligence also limit my knowledge. You try to explain something to a real stupid person. Why can't he understand? Because the way his mind is put together limits his understanding. Now, we don't have that problem. Our minds and our intelligence also limits what we can understand. Now, maybe our limit is a little higher, like a credit limit or something. It's a little higher, but it's a limit. But in spiritual existence, there is no such limit. Knowledge is without material limits. Existence is permanent and joyful. And therefore, we say that existence in the material world is a reflection. In fact, a perverted reflection, imperfect reflection of reality. Reality in Vedic terms is defined as being